I had a learning this morning. I know how to turn on the clicker. It's a good day when you learn something. Speaking of learning, we are in Lent. You can tell things have changed a little bit. The green is gone. Got purple here. It's Lent, the beginning of our journey to Easter. And there's one thing I want to make very clear before we go any further. Sundays are not fast days during Lent. They are feast days always. So if you choose to give up something like coffee or chocolate or television or water skiing, I don't know. Whatever you might think of to give up during Lent, on Sundays you can still do it because this is the feast day always. So let's just put that to the side now. So this whole thing of Lent and these days began right after Jesus' baptism. He was plunked into choices. And we always have these choices in every day of our lives. There are choices that we have to face, choices that we have to make. With Jesus, it happened right at his baptism. This is one of those paintings that tells the entire story. To your left, you see Jesus coming up out of the water after his baptism. And then to the right, you see the Spirit leading him off into the desert where he meets Satan and is tempted. But before that, he's got 40 days that he thinks about what he's doing, what this experience of baptism has meant to him. He's alone out there in the desert, out in the wilderness, whatever that was for him. He's alone. Nobody is there except him. And then later, Satan, who comes along and begins to tempt him. Now, we all know about temptation. Temptation is sneaky. I don't know if you know how to do any American Sign Language, but for the preschool where I used to do chapel once a week, we always signed the Lord's Prayer. And when you sign, you say, "Lead us not into temptation." So the word for temptation is this little sneaky thing, because it's like somebody comes up behind you and says, "Look over here. Look over here. I got something for you over here, but don't tell anybody." Because the things that are tempting to us are generally not the things that are good for us. If they're good for us, they're not a temptation. They're a celebration, right? If they're the things we're supposed to be doing, they're a gift from God. But if they're not, no matter how we twist our mind around it, it's still not right, no matter how good it seems. I had a dog once who knew a lot about temptation. Maybe I'll tell her story another day. But she knew, she just had no self-control. You know, she had none whatsoever. So there's Jesus out there. He's in the desert, in the wilderness. And the devil knows he's hungry because it's been 40 days. And he says, "Look at all these stones here. You can just pick up one of those stones and turn it into bread and be filled." And Jesus said, "No, that's not why God sent me here." So he takes him up to the tall mountain and he says, "Look at all that's happening in this land. You can have power over it. You can make it right. You can make it just like it ought to be. You can make it any way you want it to be. All you have to do is bow down to me." And Jesus said, "No, that's not what I'm here to do." So then he took him to the temple and he said, "Do you know, those people that were at the baptism, they didn't hear what you heard. If you really want to know, them to know that you are the Son of God, just jump off the top of this temple. The angels will catch you. Everybody will see it. They'll say, whoa, there is the Son of God. And Jesus said, no, that's not what I'm about. He knew all of this. He wasn't tempted by Satan because he was grounded. He was grounded in his faith, and he was grounded in Scripture. You know, one of the sneaky temptations people have, they proof text. They say, so-and-so. And if you take it out of context, you can say, oh, I can see how that might be a good thing. But if you put it back in the context like Jesus did, you can see where it is. So Jesus is there. He's tempted because he knows that there's hunger in the world. And he knows that he could take these stones and make enough food to feed all the hungry children in the world. That in one moment, he could make it all better again. But he knew that that's not why he was here on earth. He knew he was here to nourish all of us spiritually, so that we would be able to feed everyone who is hungry, so that we would be able to do for each other what needs to be done. And when he was up on the mountaintop, he could see all that was wrong with the world, all of the things that we humans have done to mess it up, even at that time. He knew he could fix it. And he knew that that's not why he was here. He knew what damage we had done and would do through wars. He knew how many people would die. But he knew that he wasn't there to fix it. He knew he was there to inspire all of us to do what we need to do to bring peace into this world, to take down the barriers between people. And when he was on top of the temple, tempted to show exactly whose child he was, he knew that that's not the way it needed to happen. He knew that through his life and his teaching, that we would know. That through his teaching, through his healing, that we would see God all around us. And that we would learn to praise God because of his example. And he knew when all of those things came to happen, that we would bring this world into wholeness again. That we would be together as God's people. That there would be peace on this earth. And that we, working together, all of us could do that. We all have our own wildernesses. You may have noticed that. There are times when we don't know where to turn. There are times when we are tempted to do things that in our deepest hearts of hearts, we know are not the reason why we're here on this earth. But we're tempted. And now we've got all these choices, always. Every day we have choices, how we're going to use our time, how we're going to use our resources, how we're going to use everything that God has given us, even our right to choose. And in this time of Lent, we have all of these choices to make. And you may not be surprised to find that there is a way to look at these choices and sort it all out. In our Book of Common Prayer, our gift on page 304, there are some words that are really where the rubber hits the road as far as the commandment to love God with all our heart, with all our mind, and with all our spirit, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. It's the baptismal covenant promises, and I've got little pieces of them for all of you because I want you to take them home. This is as close to homework as I'm ever going to give you, probably. Why don't we read these together? Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in the prayers? Will you persevere in resisting evil? And whenever you fall into sin, repent and to return to the Lord. Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ? Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? Those five promises are the hardest promises we ever make. And I was counting up, and I've already broken three this morning. There was that freeway event. It happens sometimes. But we have this time of Lent to look at our lives, to look at the ways that we have lived into these promises. And the real temptation is to look at these promises and count up all the ways we have broken them. But that's not very helpful. Have you ever taught someone to drive a car? Then you'll know, particularly if it's a young person, that wherever they look is where they turn the wheel. To watch out for distractions around them because they're on the curb because the wheel follows their eyes. And that's what happens. Wherever we look is where we go. So what I would encourage you and invite you to do during this time of Lent is to look at these baptismal promises and to pick the one that kind of shimmers for you, the one that seems to strike your heart the most. And think of one thing, just one thing that you can do in your life to live more fully into that promise. Look at what you want to do, not what you don't want to do. Just one thing, just one change in your life, just one new promise that you want to make. Lent is 40 days long. A new habit takes 14 days to establish. But our gracious God has given us 40 whole days plus Sundays to get just a little bit closer to God, to invite the Holy Spirit into our hearts, and to take just one step closer to Christ. And when we do this, when we strive for this one thing, we can trust that God will be with us, holding us and helping us and guiding us. And I've got little pieces of paper for you all to take home and put in your purse or in your pocket. And when you look at that piece of paper, remember that God is holding you. Thanks be to God.